Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Turkey hunting's one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Yannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Maggie Smith, Hayden Samick, Seth Morris, Randall Williams, and Rick Hutton. And a very special welcome.
Quick question.
What's up?
When you, how do you decide on the order?
Third time this has been asked to me.
While I've been here.
It's often a combination looking at the invite, about who's been invited first. Sometimes it's alphabetical order. Sometimes the people end up playing aren't on the invite yet because we have others that drop out. I'll tell you this, Yanni. Usually the headliner gets the first name. So it's usually a Steve, a Yanni, a Cal, a Clay. After that, it's random.
Appreciate it.
Does that satisfy what you're looking for?
You think the grand champion would be up top.
Yeah, Marquee, like, what headliner are you talking about?
Brody was second. Brody is the second headliner. Plus, Brody's here almost every episode. Every time I'm in this room for trivia, Brody's here at this point.
You put me on the invite. You can stop inviting me.
How do you think that would go over, Brody?
Let's do that.
Better for everyone else.
I got other things I could be doing than whipping everyone's ass.
That's right. Now, each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're updating our donation tracker. As of last episode, we surpassed over $30,000 in conservation organization donations. These donations from Meat Eater Trivia have been spread out across 31 different groups. Brody, are people bugging you yet to get you to donate to their organization? Steve suggested that should be a thing that they should...
I get some inquiries.
Uh-huh. And does that work? Not yet.
Well, I mean, like, sure, it'll work if it's something I think that's, you know, worth donating to.
Okay, $30,000 so far. Butter up, Brody. Maybe your donation will get one of those $500 donations. Now, here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 365. The topic was cooking, and nobody got it right. If you order fried cooter from a restaurant, what kind of animal are you eating?
Fish.
No.
I wasn't here either. For that question.
I wasn't either.
Take a guess here. If you order fried cooter from a restaurant, what kind of animal are you eating? It is not fish.
Gator.
No.
Damn.
Anybody else have a guess?
Rabbit.
No.
Possum.
No.
Coon.
A coot.
No. The incorrect answers given in that episode were gator, crab, pig, quail, raccoon, and rabbit. The correct answer was turtle or soft-shell turtle.
Mm.
Oh.
So if you go to a restaurant down south and you order yourself some fried cooter, you're going to get turtle. Now we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, I asked players to name three of the 9 states that the Trail of Tears passes through. But when I read the answer, I made a mistake and forgot to include Arkansas on that list. Well, thankfully, 36 different listeners wrote in to let me know about that error. So, to clarify, the 9 states are Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Arkansas.
Was now, Clay Newcomb one of those people?
No, he wasn't. But a lot of folks wrote in saying Clay would be very disappointed that I missed Arkansas.
Would that have changed the results of that game?
Now, a few players had Arkansas as one of their 3 states, but only Seth listed it with 2 other correct answers. So Seth deserves to get that question right, but it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game.
Wow.
So well done, Seth.
Who won that game?
Thanks.
I don't remember.
I had some... Oh, sorry.
What do you got?
Well, I had somebody reach out to me on Instagram in a comment asking, totally unrelated to the video, if I could please get in touch with you to forward that because he had not gotten back to him. So I'm sure they're satisfied now.
Plenty of folks made sure that I knew I forgot Arkansas. Also on a previous show, we speculated about if state game agencies get paid to make shows like Northwoods Law and Lone Star Law. Well, according to a 2017 article about this series, New Hampshire did not get paid, but the production company did make a $2,000 donation per episode to the New Hampshire Wildlife Heritage Foundation. So, to answer the question, no. Those game agencies do not get compensated, but the production company was making a nice conservation donation.
That's nice.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is 4.5, so our winner should get 9 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question 1. The topic is hunting. Which of these 2 legendary hunters were alive at the same time? Is it Eldo Leopold and Jim Shockey, Danielle Boone and Buffalo Bill Cody, Ernest Hemingway and Davy Crockett, or Teddy Roosevelt and Fred Bear? These are pairs, just so everybody understands. These are pairs of hunters together. You need to tell me which pair was alive at the same time. Eldo Leopold and Jim Shockey, Daniel Boone and Buffalo Bill Cody, Ernest Hemingway and Davy Crockett, or Teddy Roosevelt and Fred Bear. 2 of those people were alive at the same time. A stumped room. Looks like some folks are maybe doing some math. Yanni, how do you feel about your answers?
Did this come straight from your brain?
Straight from my brain. How do you feel about your answer?
Like often, I feel like I have a good guess.
Does anybody feel confident? Like, oh yeah, I know it. No.
No.
Does everybody have an answer?
I want to change mine now.
Everybody's in the game.
You keep flashing me, and I'm trying to be honest here, so.
Just don't change.
Put it down.
You don't want to look at that board.
Oh, I'm
anyway.
Definitely not going to cheat off him. I'll fail. But
does everybody have an answer?
Makes me feel better.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Roosevelt and Fred Bear. Seth saying Roosevelt and Fred Bear. Brody saying TR and FB. Rick saying Leopold and Shockey. Hayden crossed out B and wrote down D, which is Roosevelt and Bear. Marge saying Daniel Boone and Buffalo Bill. Giannis saying Eldo and Jim. The correct answer is Teddy Roosevelt and Fred Bear.
I thought you had it, Giannis.
Leopold died in 1948 and Shockey was born in 1957. So they missed each other by 11 years. Boone died in 1820, and Buffalo Bill was born in 1846, so they missed each other by 26 years. Crockett died in 1836, and Hemingway was born in 1899, so they missed each other by 63 years. Roosevelt died in 1919, and Fred Bear was born in 1902, so they shared the earth for 17 years.
Great question.
Thank you, Randall.
That was a good question.
When helps did Fred Bear die?
When did Fred Bear die? I don't have that written
down. It's like
down
in the yet. 80s? He lived.
He was born in 1902. So if he made it to 80, he'd have made it to 1982. Question two. The topic is public lands. Name four of the five colors that the Forest Service uses on their fire danger scale signs. Name four of the five colors that the Forest Service uses on their fire danger scale signs.
Seth is writing like he knows the answer.
Do you know the answer, Seth?
Maybe.
Okay.
He worked on a fire crew.
Oh. He's at an advantage here.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone in here passes those signs.
Oh, yeah.
A very confident room.
Probably like once a week.
Yeah, but I'm driving, so I'm looking at my phone.
Randall, that was good. I like that.
That was funny.
Folks, quick to answer. Again, I need you to name four of the five colors that the Forest Service uses on their fire danger scale signs. Seth, the man who has worked on a fire crew, we're waiting on him.
Rick worked for the Forest Service.
Yeah.
Dang, Rick, are you going to get this one right?
I think so, but
could
I might.
Could you name
we'll
all five if you had
no,
to?
No, okay. No. I should know, but yeah.
I'm drawing a blank.
Seth, we're waiting on you.
Go
ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall with an upside down answer. He says green, yellow, orange, red. Seth saying red, yellow, green, orange. Brody saying red, orange, green, yellow. Rick saying red, orange, yellow, green. Hayden saying green, yellow. What's that say?
Orange.
Orange and red. Marge saying green, yellow, orange, red. Giannis saying yellow, green, red, blue. The five colors are green, blue, yellow, orange, and red. I think everybody got it right.
Great job.
If you had to name all five, does the room think they could have got the fifth color?
Was blue one the fifth color?
Yeah,
blue
I
was
put
one
blue
of them
for sure.
Yeah, no, I put that on.
Here is what those colors mean on the fire danger scale. Green means low, blue means moderate, yellow means high, orange means very high, and red means extreme. SmokyZone.com actually sells official Forest Service fire danger signs on their website. You can get a standard one-sided sign for $640 or a two-sided sign that includes a six-foot-tall smoky bear standing next to it for $2,700.
Is that SmokyZone.com?
SmokyZone.com.
I wonder what they're basing those prices on.
What do you mean?
Like, why are they so damn expensive?
Royalties for smoking.
Those are some big signs. That's why you all got it right. You see them so often. They're so dang big. Question three. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Dusted Long. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This national park, which is located in North Carolina, claims to be the most biodiverse national park in America.
What was the category? I wasn't listening.
Conservation. This national park, which is located in North Carolina, claims to be the most biodiverse national park in America. Pretty confident room.
No.
Mine is Seth. Hayden, you look like you have this one right.
If you want, I can revisit this afterwards. I have some thoughts on it. But
Randall,
yeah, maybe. I don't
Randall,
know.
Do you have this one right?
I think so.
Yanni hasn't.
I can't think of a single national park in North Carolina.
This national park, which is located in North Carolina, claims to be the most biodiverse national park in America.
You know, Rick?
I
feel like it's something you know.
No, I don't feel that confident. I might get it, but
I just hope the thing I wrote down
the,
was
the claims part of this. Is that like
according to who?
Yeah.
According to the National Park Service, this national park's website says that.
Brody, I think has a good point there at the claims because I think it's. Oh, you shouldn't say.
Don't give anything.
I would be an answer. It'd be a hint, but Mike like might.
On this park's website, it says we are the most biodiverse national park in America. Does everybody have an answer, Yanni?
Surprise you're not on your phone, Hayden.
I have something written down. I wouldn't call it an answer.
Surprise you're not on your phone.
Let's go.
You ready, Yanni? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Great Smoky Mountains. Seth saying Great Smoky Mountains. Brody saying Smoky Mountain. Rick saying Great Smoky Mountain. Hayden saying Dunes. Marge saying Smoky Mountain. Giannis saying Blue Mountain. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Are we going to give it to Brody?
You do what's in your heart.
He's missing the word great.
Marge had the same thing.
No. Oh, I didn't have great on mine too, but I
okay, we'll give it
mountain.
To you. You get what? It. If you put Smoky Mountain, we will give it to you. We will say the great does not matter.
Yeah, give it to Bray because I had Great Smoky and no mountain. I had NP for National Park.
Okay, that's very honest of you.
I had Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
No one cares, Randall.
Well, you are a doctor. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park is in both Tennessee and North Carolina. They claim to be home to over 19,000 species of animals, plants, and fungi. Scientists speculate there are an additional 80,000 species that live there but haven't yet been documented. Yanni, with the person who has family in North Carolina, how do you feel about not coming up with the correct answer?
Well, see, we always land in Wilmington or Raleigh and go pretty much due southeast, not in that direction.
Okay.
So I knew there was Smoky Mountains. I didn't know they were a national park.
Question four, the topic is fishing. What's the name for the legendary cicada hatch that happens every 17 years, which last took place in 2021?
I'm assuming it's not the legendary cicada hatch.
What's the name for the legendary cicada hatch that happens every 17 years, which last took place in 2021? The room is stumped.
I'm not stumped. It's just like there's different... I can't
There's
say
a
anything.
Right answer, Brody, to this question, which is what's the name for the legendary cicada hatch that happens every 17 years, which last took place in 2021?
When they say it happens every 17 years, like what states?
Not giving you any hints. The question is the question.
I remember the 04 hatch like it was yesterday.
Okay. That's a hint for the room.
Yeah, every 17 years.
But you don't remember the 2021 cicada hatch.
I have no idea. Where
I mean, I remember multiple cicada hatches in Pennsylvania, but it certainly
they
wasn't.
They're not the legendary.
They certainly weren't 17 years apart.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Looks like most folks aren't coming up with an answer. Do you think you will, or should we just move on?
Hold on.
Yeah, new question.
Yeah, this question's... I will say, I do love questions that Brody gets kind of pissed off at. You can see it on his face.
I think Brody goes home and writes like a bunch of angry letters to different organizations after this. Like there's one organization that gets a good letter, and that's the one that Brody donated $500
to. You know,
Hayden,
when you don't get a lot of questions right, you gotta keep your mouth shut.
Again, the topic is fishing. What's the name for the legendary cicada hatch that happens every 17 years, which last took place in 2021? Is everybody ready? Yanni, do you give up yet?
Yeah.
I am going to know it when I hear it. I can tell you that.
Yanni? I bet everybody will, Randall.
All right.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall without an answer. Seth saying the locust hatch. Brody saying the 17-year locust marmon circuit.
No,
cricket.
Those are two different answers.
Okay. Rick saying big bug die-off. Hayden saying the 17-year cicada hatch. Marge sang The Plague, LOL. Giannis sang Anniversary. This is going to be a 0%er question. Nobody got it right. The correct answer is Brood X or The Great Eastern Brood. Brood X. Does that ring a bell now that you've heard it?
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, I've heard Brood
X. We didn't call it that shit in Pennsylvania.
But the whole the fishing thing threw me off, man, because like... There's a cicada hatch that happens in like particularly on the Green River in Utah, some other places, and that's what threw me off. Man.
This is
they call them Mormon crickets on the Green River.
The Brood X hatch is most noticeable in the eastern United States. The phenomenon was first documented by a Philadelphia minister in 1715 who noticed a biblical swarm of cicadas at church that spring. If you want to be prepared for the next time it happens in 2028, then read Kubi Brown's article on themeateater.com called 17 Years Waiting, How to Fish the Brood X Cicada Hatch. It wouldn't be 2028, it'd be 2038, excuse me. 17 years waiting. How to fish the Brood X cicada hatch. Question 5. The topic is cooking. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by John Schlesinger for sending this great question. John is going to get a book signed by Steve. The topic is cooking. This campfire staple, which is sold in foil-covered aluminum pans, was invented by an Indiana chemist in 1958. Again, the topic is cooking. This campfire staple, which is sold in foil-covered aluminum pans, was invented by an Indiana chemist in 1958. Brody, Giannis, Randall are confident. Rick is coming up with an answer. Hayden hasn't picked up his board. Marge, are you going to get this one right? No, she says. How about you, Seth? Seth, you look medium confident.
Not so wordy right now, are we?
I don't know.
No, I'm thoughtful.
I'm getting thrown off by something there.
But this I think campfire that, staple.
There's they're too, the people that aren't writing answers are young.
I was just going to say.
It's not a staple anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a generational thing going on.
You're helping
here.
The room out. This campfire staple, which is sold in foil-covered aluminum pans, was invented by an Indiana chemist in 1958.
When I was a kid, we would do an annual beach trip, and it was this was part of the tradition, was bringing a bunch of this. And
oh, this was a beach mm-hmm. staple.
It was, okay. Yeah.
Brody, have you ever cooked this on a campfire?
No.
Yanni, have you ever cooked this on a campfire?
Yes, with zero okay. success.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying right. Jiffy Pop, Seth saying popcorn, Brody saying Jiffy Pop, Rick saying popcorn, Hayden saying Jiffy Pop, Marge saying popcorn, Giannis saying Jiffy Pop. They got it. The correct answer is Jiffy Pop.
Hold on, you're not going to give it to the
No, if you just said popcorn, I looked it up. Popcorn's been around for about 9,000 years. So
a little okay. longer than Jiffy
it
Pop.
Not, popcorn would not satisfy what I'm looking for.
Well, Jiffy I thought you were looking for the snack, not the
I even
brand
was
going to
ask him, like, how picky are you going to be with, like, well, the brand
popcorn
name?
Popcorn was not invented by an Indiana chemist in 1958.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Jiffy Pop only makes a single product today, which is their classic buttered popcorn. Although it's advertised as something you can make on a stovetop, cooking them over a campfire is a popular alternative. Their slogan, which has been used since the 1960s, is Jiffy Pop, as fun to make as it is to eat.
I hope they're paying you for this because they're going to crush it this summer.
Yeah.
What?
Well, you just said it didn't work on the campfire.
Everyone's just going to burn it, though, anyway.
Did it just burn up or what happened?
Yeah.
It doesn't heat evenly.
We burned it. But I also feel like I was probably 12 or 13 years old and maybe I could do it better now.
Phil, did you have any success at the beach with Jiffy Pop?
Oh, well, we always cheated and just used it on a stovetop.
Mm. At the beach?
Yeah, like a little portable. Yeah.
We still burned it on a stovetop one time when I was a kid.
So. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, sure thing. We've got Rick, Giannis, and Maggie tied up with 2 points. Hayden and Seth have 3 points apiece and tied up in first place, can you believe it, are Brody Henderson and Randall.
Anybody's Dr. game, Randall. Folks.
With what?
Anybody's it's early. Game.
How many points do they have, Phil?
4.
Phil, which one did I get wrong that I thought I was the same as Seth?
It's very possible. I might have messed up. Rick, did you get the first question right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Then,
what was the
then
first
that's
question?
The one.
No,
that's
no, Teddy
no.
Roosevelt. And
I
Fred
did.
Bear.
That's what I didn't get that right. I did not get that right.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
It's good
Shut
try,
up, Rick.
Rick.
How dare you challenge me?
What the hell? Sorry, Phil. Yeah.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family, you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies
that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50 and it has airflow, so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear.
Question six. The topic is hunting. Name two of the four states with the most pronghorn entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Name two of the four states with the most pronghorn entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Quick answers from this room. They look confident. We've had a 0%er today. We've had a 100%er. We may have a second 100%er where everybody gets it right. Based on how confident folks were coming up with answers. Again, you need to name two of the four states with the most pronghorn entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Randall doing some erasing, or are you just trying to
No, I'm trying to hide it from my rivals here.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying Wyoming and Nevada.
You only got one down.
Seth, oh, I had to rain
two
right
of them.
Two?
Yanni, I don't think we can give it to you. You've seen the boards. Randall saying Wyoming and Nevada. Seth saying Wyoming and Nevada. Brody saying Wyoming and New Mexico. Rick saying New Mexico and Arizona. Hayden saying Wyoming, New Mexico. Marge saying Wyoming, Montana. Giannis saying Wyoming.
I don't feel like you repeated the question.
That's how you get a half point, Marge.
Seems like everyone else came up with it. Marge, this is how my wife got a half point. She got one of the two states. I didn't want to tell you before this question. Then, you know, these folks would have known. The four states are Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada. So our room did pretty well. Yanni, what have you, could you probably could have came up
Arizona.
With all four. Yanni, I did repeat it. We had the rest of the room knew. Again, the question is now on the
behind
screen.
Behind my back.
Behind you. Wyoming leads the country in Boone and Crockett pronghorn with 1,485. That's followed by New Mexico with 800, Arizona and Nevada with 400, and Montana, Colorado, and Texas with 200. The states with the fewest entries are Oklahoma with 6, Kansas with 10, and North Dakota with 25.
In other words, the states that don't have any antelope.
That's right. Question 7. The topic is gear. According to Napa Auto Parts, this is the most common size for a trailer hitch ball.
Oh.
According to Napa Auto Parts, this is the most common size for a trailer hitch ball. The topic is gear. Brody, did you already come up with an answer, or have you just not picked up your board
I wrote
yet?
The first thing that popped into my head.
Brody knows it.
This is out of, like, what they sell. So any kind of trailer out there.
According to Napa Auto Parts, this is the most common size for a trailer hitch ball. On Napa's website, it says, this is the most common size of trailer hitch ball. Seth, you going to get this one right?
Yeah.
Yanni, you got this one right?
I think so.
Marge, are you ready?
Hold on, I don't have to write down the two most common ones, do I? Let me turn around and see the question back there.
That according like to Napa number. Auto Parts, this is the most common size for a trailer hitch ball. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying 2.5 inch.
Terrible.
Seth saying 2 inch. Brody saying 2 inch. Rick and Hayden saying 2 inch. Marge saying whatever pulls my drift boat. Giannis saying 2 inch. The correct answer is 2 inch. The room did very well. Marge, I would guess that you have a 2 inch that pulls your drift boat. U-Haul and others consider a 2 inch ball hitch to be the standard size. After 2 inch, the most common sizes are 1 7/8 and 2 5/16. 2 inch trailer balls have a wide weight capacity ranging from 3,500 pounds to 12,000 pounds for gross trailer weight.
Okay, little PSA, is that what they call them?
What do you got?
I recently on the Gear Talk podcast, we interviewed a fellow, Clay Croft from X Overland, and we learned that you never, ever try to pull anybody out of a sticky situation by putting a strap or a chain around their ball, because that can shear off. And people have been killed recently by those balls coming through the windshield and then hitting them. So you got to pull someone out, or you're getting pulled out. Do not let them attach to the ball. Instead, take the ball out and attach to the hitch itself, or the pin that goes through there, attach to that.
Yanni, that was
saving
absolutely,
some lives.
Absolutely a good little hot PSA. Tip.
I've definitely used the ball before.
Me too.
I was waiting for somebody to argue, how is this related to me, Dieter? Why is it gear? Well, Yanni just said you're pulling people out of stuck places. You're pulling campers,
boats.
Snowmobile trailers, ice shacks, all kinds of
things. No, I think that's one of your best ever questions.
Yeah, that was good.
That relates to a lot of things.
Hyping me up. Well done. Question 8, the topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Scott Morin. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Name 2 of the 3 countries that have produced Bassmaster Classic champions. Name 2 of the 3 countries that have produced Bassmaster Classic champions. Yanni, we need you to name 2 of them.
Thank you.
Randall, are you going to get this one right?
I've lost all confidence.
What happened on that last question, you think, Randall?
I knew that it was 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought...
You inflated.
How can I... screw this up.
And then you wrote a half after.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really disappointing.
Again, I need you to name 2 of the 3 countries that have produced Bassmaster Classic champions. Does everybody have an answer? Brody?
Yeah.
Marge? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying U.S. and Japan. Seth saying USA, Canada. Brody saying USA, Canada. Rick saying USA, Japan. Hayden saying America, Japan. Marge saying Canada, USA. Giannis saying USA, Australia.
America's not a country.
The three countries are the United States, Japan, and Canada. Everybody but Yanni got it right. The first international champion was Takahiro Omori from Japan, who won the 2004 Classic on Lake Wylie in North Carolina. The next international champion was Jeff Gustafson from Canada, who won the 2023 Classic on the Tennessee River in Tennessee. The other 50 champions were from the United States. Seth, did you watch Jeff Gustafson win this year as the second international angler to ever win the whole thing?
I did, yep.
Did you remember that? Oh, yeah, I know Jeff was from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, yep. Seth. And you still went off the board. Did you say Canada or Japan?
Canada.
Okay. Well done, Seth.
No, I put Canada because, yeah, Gussie was fresh on the mind.
Gussie, you even know his nickname.
Yeah, man. Big
good
fan.
On you, Seth.
I think our homie Carl is going to win in the future, so Australia will soon be added to the list.
Carl, I think Carl will win.
Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Maggie and Giannis are no longer in the running for the win.
Son of a...
Rick Hutton has 5 points. Seth and Randall and Hayden all have 6 points apiece. And in first place, it is Brody Henderson with 7 points.
Randall.
Question 9. The topic is cooking. The Food Network described this dish as, quote, basically a deep-fried burrito. The Food Network described this dish as, quote, basically a deep-fried burrito. Yanni with the quickest answer. Is the pressure off, Yanni, now that you're out of the game? Is that why you're so quick to answer this question?
No, it's because I used to work at Fiestas in Edwards, Colorado.
That's a hint.
To sling quite a few of these.
That's a hint from Giannis.
I used to order beers and tacos from Giannis now and then.
Oh, buddy, did we ask?
Did you two
times.
Know each other then?
Did we? Yeah. I guess so, if you went in
towards
there.
The tail end of your Fiesta's career.
Yeah, my restaurant.
Because you did a little work there while you were guiding, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Food Network described this dish as, quote, basically a deep fried burrito. Seth, without an answer.
I don't have a clue.
Brody, do you have this one right?
I'm 50-50.
Okay,
like,
Randall,
yeah.
Are you going to get this one right?
I don't feel great about it, but I think I'm in the right.
Okay.
I'd go down to Fiesta's right now and get one smothered in there.
Does everybody have an answer?
The white
Let's not talk about
chicken sauce.
You're giving it on.
Yeah. Hold on. God, now I want to change it.
Oh, now Seth, do you know it now all of a sudden?
No, okay. I'm just going to put something down.
I'm in the
Down any Mexican dish.
I think that hint that Giannis gave was enough to get me to change my answer, but in the spirit of things, I'm not going to change my answer. I'm just crossing out what I think because of Giannis.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah,
just do it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Oh. We have Randall saying enchilada, Seth saying enchilada, Brody saying chimichanga, Rick without an answer, Hayden saying empanada, he crossed out enchilada, Marge saying chimichanga, Giannis sang chimichanga. Yanni was right. The correct answer is chimichanga. I think Marge and Brody also got it. Yanni, tell us about the famous enchiladas the famous chimichangas at Fiesta.
It wasn't the chimichanga so much. It was this, what was that sauce called?
Yeah, that white stuff on the enchiladas
is
good.
It was like a very Americanized sauce to put onto Mexican food, but it was basically creamy, chickeny, little bit of jalapeno-y, cheesy, and you could basically, as a waiter, you could upsell and add like $1 to every plate by saying, hey, instead of having the normal green chili or enchilada sauce, why don't we just smother it all in the, what was that stuff called?
Can't
the
remember.
White corn something. Anyways, it was good.
What else was a Mexican restaurant using deep fryers for? I suppose like taco shells, the chimichangas.
Yeah, if they make their own.
Churros.
Nacho chips.
Chips. And then we also had the what do they call it? Fried ice cream, which is not really fried, but you know.
Although most Americans associate this food with Mexico, it was actually invented in Arizona. The first chimichanga was accidentally created in 1922 when a Tucson cook dropped a burrito in a deep fryer. If you want to learn how to make your own, then go to themeateater.com and read Justin Townsend's recipe called Venison Steak Chimichanga.
Dude, I'm making that. Not tonight. tomorrow night.
Phil, we have one question left. I think it's over, but give us an update.
It is indeed over. Brody Henderson has 8 points and cannot be caught by Hayden, who has 6 points behind him.
A dominant.
Oh, Randall, you're not even where Hayden's
I'm,
at?
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I didn't sort my players correctly. Apologies. Randall, Hayden, and Seth all have 6 points.
It's fine. I feel like I deserve it.
A runaway victory for Brody. We'll see if he can get the Shelby Index.
Good job, guys.
By that
question
Randall.
10. The topic is ecology. This next great question comes to us via Canaan Grove. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The National Park Service defines this type of wetland as an area that's dominated by grasses but lacks trees. The National Park Service defines this type of wetland as an area that's dominated by grasses but lacks trees.
You know, I'm married to a wetlands ecologist. Mm,
is that going to help you get this one right?
Mm. I have an answer.
Okay. That's her official title. I've just thought of her as a botanist, but I should refer to her now as a wetlands ecologist.
Yes.
Again, the question is, the National Park Service defines this type of wetland as an area that's dominated by grasses but lacks trees. Does everybody have an answer? Hayden?
Yeah, mine's stupid, though.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Randall saying marsh, Seth saying marsh, Brody saying plains, Rick saying marsh, Hayden saying riparian area, Marge saying marsh, Giannis saying fen. The correct answer
marsh,
is marsh. The room did pretty well. According to the National Park Service, a marsh is a wetland that's dominated by grasses, rushes, and small shrubs. A bog is a wetland that has acidic, low oxygen pools of water. A swamp is a wetland that's covered in trees. Both marshes and swamps can be either freshwater or saltwater, but bogs are almost exclusively freshwater. Yanni, I just learned what the word fen means yesterday when I was writing this question. Explain to folks what a fen is. Why did you think it was a fen?
Well, it is classified as a wetland. Mm-hmm. Am I correct there?
Yep.
And my wife, Jennifer's worked in a lot of fens, but it's basically, it's where peat comes from. It's a peat bog, in other words. So it's a wetland that is like slowly filled in over years and years and years. And what's cool about them is that they can take, I think, pretty shallow core samples, but get way back into history by not going that deep because the layers are very thin.
Very good, Yanni. It's almost like you're married to a wetlands ecologist, but you didn't know that the answer was a marsh.
Is that like a muskeg? Is that like a fin?
I bet, yeah.
Could be. They definitely look like that.
Like on Prince of Wales, it's just like a filled in,
but it's like there's 11 feet of rain up there a year. I think it's totally different.
And I think those musk eggs are like dying lakes. They're like lakes that are like filling in.
Brody is our winner with 8 correct answers in the runaway victory. Maybe somebody got 7. Somebody maybe pulled up behind him.
Yeah,
Seth and I got. Yeah,
Brody,
the doctor, myself got 7.
Brody, where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
Man, I haven't been thinking about it. Let's just do the land access initiative.
Do we have any updates from the LAI?
Nobody sent you an email recently to get you to donate to theirs conservation organization?
Not that I've been paying attention.
No compelling pleas in your DMs?
I guess not. Come on, folks. Yeah, do you read your DMs on the IG?
Yeah.
Just get in his comments, then he can't miss it at all. Even if it's not related to his kids catching walleye, just tell him where he should donate to.
Yeah.
Be time well spent for some conservation organization. Well done, Brody. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Yeah.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.